Good morning. That was a sound check, by the way.
Good morning.
Today we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Carrie, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Father, we thank you so much for the honor, the privilege, the opportunity to come before you today and to learn from your Holy Spirit how to focus on you. Father, we pray that you would give Jonathan and I the words to speak. Take all of us out of it and let only your word come forth today. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Okay, Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The thing which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
I spent a lot of time in my younger days, in the college, right around that age, memorizing, trying to learn a lot of these scriptures, Philippians 4, 8. There's a lot of pure and wonderful things to think about listed in verse 8. So it's kind of hard to get every single one and have that stuck in your mind. But that's what God is calling us to do, is to really take these scriptures and put them deep in our hearts. I know one scripture, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. That was one scripture that God impressed on me early on. And I would read it over and over and try to memorize it. And a neat thing is that when Carrie and I moved up here from Kentucky, and we stayed here for a while, it was neat because Arnie had a Bible study in his home. And I had been working on the scripture and trying to memorize it. And it turns out to be one of Arnie's favorite scriptures he likes to share. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now that goes along with what we talked about last week. We talked about presenting our bodies to God, to focus our attention, our bodies on God. And that's really where we were coming from last week. Now, verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that's a verse that when I had put that deep in my heart, and then Arnie had confirmed it when we would meet together in that Bible study in his house. That word changed my life. It drove my life forward to realize, don't be conformed to the world, but have your mind transformed. Have your mind renewed. And really that's what we're going to be talking about today as we share with you, is that our mind and our heart. Last week we talked about the body. This week it's about the mind and the heart, which is really the essence of our being, the soul. And then next week, we plan on talking about the spirit, going on and talking about focusing spirit on God. If we'll turn to, go ahead and turn to John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus is our example. He shows us how to live. He shows us what it is we need to do to live and to focus our minds on Christ, on Him, and on the Father. Jesus said this of Himself. He said, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner.'" And really, that's our directive. As we live our lives, we need to focus our mind, focus our eyes, our attention on the Father and what the Father is doing. And then He asks us to participate. He wants us to participate in what He's doing. So when you're out in the world and you see God moving, you see God, you see the Father doing something, God wants us to participate in doing what He's doing. And the only things that Jesus could do was what He saw the Father doing. And that should be our mindset. That's having our minds transformed, not to the ways of the world and doing things just like the world does, but how does the Father do things? And that's what we want to do. That's how we need to focus our mind. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, the world doesn't have that mind. Unless you belong to Christ, you're still going to have that. You're still going to be conformed to the world. You're not living a transformed life. But if you belong to Christ, you have access to His mind and the way He thinks. You have access to that. That is within your realm, to have access to the mind of Christ and to have freedom in your life and everything you say and do. Why? What does the mind do? It helps direct our bodies. It helps direct where we're going because of our mind. It helps direct where we're going. So we need to have the mind of Christ. How do we do that? How do we have the mind of Christ? How do we live a surrendered life? If you look up and go up a few verses, 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says, "But God has revealed them," the things of God, the things that we need to have in our mind, "He has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." How is it we have the mind of God? How is it that we have the mind of Christ? God sends His Spirit into your life. Of course, you have to welcome Him there. You have to welcome Him into your life. But God will send you His Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit know? It knows the deep things of God that He has for you, so that we can have the mind of Christ. Somebody calls you a stupid head. In myself, yes, that may be true. Maybe I am a stupid head. But guess what? I have access I have access to the mind of Christ. And Christ is no dummy. Amen? So, Jesus, our example of having the mind of the Father. Jesus, our example. How did he do it? What did he do? What were the steps that Jesus took to make this happen? Turn over to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It's no secret what Jesus did. This is Jesus. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. He set the course of his life's action. Early in the morning, before anybody was up, he set his life's course and action to praying and communing with the Father, because he knew he was desperate. If Jesus, the Savior of the world, the perfect, spotless Lamb, had to take time to get before the Father in a solitary place, how much more do we need to do that? To set the course of our day in the right direction. How much do we need to do that? We're desperate for that. We're desperate to when our eyes pop open, and we hear that alarm clock or whatever it is going off, we're desperate to start our day off before our Father. We desperately need that. We desperately need to wake up. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father is waiting. He is waiting. He's like, "Son, I see you there. I see you there, sleeping." Those of us who are parents like to see our children sleeping, right? Because they're peaceful. Nothing's going on. No turmoil while they're sleeping. The Father watches us while we're sleeping. And he can't wait for us to open our eyes. And he's reaching out to us. Will they acknowledge me today? Will they recognize me today? Will they set their mind on me today? He's waiting. Just waiting for you to wake up. What will your first words be? What will your first thoughts be? Will it be to your day? Okay, I know what mine would be. It's like, I'm going to that bathroom. Okay. But what are your first thoughts? Are they for the Lord? Are you going to that solitary place to reach out, to speak to your God and your guide? All the things that God is: fortress, refuge, healer, all these things. Are we reaching out to him first thing when we wake up? And the last thing before we lay ourselves down: is our mind focused on him, centered on him? And that's what God is, his desire is for us. That's what he's desiring for us. Now, even as I've shared this, the soul, our soul, is a connection between our spirit and our body. In our soul, we have our mind, we have our heart, all those things, and our bodies, we connect to our bodies through that. We need our bodies. We have appetites in our bodies. We need food. I mean, you can feel that caffeine when you get that first cup of coffee in the morning. You can feel that. You know, and our soul is our connection between our spirit, the part that relates to God, and our bodies. And we need that. And we need that to be focused on Him. So, I've talked about the mind, and Carrie's now she's going to talk about the heart. Now it's not because, you know, guys are logical, so he had to talk about the mind and she has to talk about heart because that's the emotions, right? Well, don't be fooled. We all have emotions. We all have reason. Okay, but we all express it in different ways, each and every one of us. So that's not why we just split it out that way, but it's there. You know, I talk about the mind, and Carrie, she's going to talk about the heart. We're going to turn again to Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Now, this passage tells us how to train our minds. And many times when the Scripture talks about minds and hearts, a lot of times it's almost interchangeable because it's really talking about our soul. In fact, a lot of the words are translated one way and then they're translated another, depending on who's translating the passage from Greek or Hebrew. Philippians 4, 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you."
It seems like a long laundry list of things to focus on, but it does train us in thinking the way that God wants us to think. He wants us to be able to focus on Him, but if our mind is distracted by the things of the world instead of looking at the things He wants us to look at, we're not going to develop that mind of Christ. And when it comes to the heart, it's just as important. One of the things that I learned in my studies on this was that there are over 1,000 times in the Bible that the heart is mentioned in one form or another. And there are a lot of dimensions to the heart. We hear all the time that the heart is wicked. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 29:13 says to search for Him with all your heart. Jeremiah 24:7 says, "I will give them a heart to know me." Different ways that the heart is being talked about. The heart knows, it thinks, it sees, it's wise or foolish or darkened. It can devise things and it can desire things. Jesus says that the heart's secrets are betrayed by the mouth. Even as a tree discloses who it is by its fruit, our fruit and what comes out of our mouths show what's in our hearts and what kind of heart we have. We also have a heart that uses reasoning as well as feeling. And it describes the moral condition of that person. Jesus said that from within, out of men's hearts, comes evil thoughts. Because the human heart is deceitful above all things, and folly is found up in the heart of a child, the Spirit of God must give humans a new heart through faith that purifies it. We sang today about creating me a new heart, a clean heart. We need a heart that is hungry for the Lord. We need a heart that is being filled with truth from God's word. That is being filled because we're worshiping him and because we're praising him. That heart gets filled with joy. And that heart gets strong, and peace can reign in our hearts. Our heart in our culture seems to be the seat of emotion. Back in biblical times, it was the kidneys or our bowels, right? But for us, we say the heart. The heart loves, it feels, it has compassion, it forgives. The heart is joined in love, it is knit one to another. The heart feels positive things, it has good things that it feels. It feels joy, it feels love, it feels passion, it feels hope. But it also feels negative things, it hates, it despises. It feels wrath. It's vengeful. It also sorrows and hurts. But we have a Father in heaven whose biggest desire is that we give our heart into his hand so that he can form and shape. Give us a heart that is not stone and death and bitterness, and hatred, and anger, and lost, and sent to the pit of hell, but a heart of flesh that he can hold and mold and shape. The heart can be good. The heart can be pure and whole, W-H-O-L-E. Pure, clean, cleansed. The heart can be circumcised. The heart can be laid bare before our Father in holy, heart-shaped circumcision. Where all the works of the enemy are cut away. And the only thing left in our hearts is that desire to relate to Jesus, to have a relationship with him first and foremost. Everything else, our relationships with one another, fall into place when our hearts are right before him. How do we focus on Jesus if we're bitter? How do we focus on Jesus if we're feeling hurt all the time? If everything in our heart revolves around me, I'm not looking at all to Jesus. You're not looking to Jesus. If all you're thinking about is yourself, your hurt, your plans, me, 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 means there's no room for Jesus. And our focus is off. The heart has a hardness to it. But sometimes that hardness isn't that stone hardness of bitterness. sometimes that hardness is steadfastness. It's being strong in the Lord. It's not going to move to the left or the right. It's having a heart that is so focused on Christ, no matter what comes your way, that heart is trusting Jesus to be protected in his hands. There is no overflow of agony and grief when we trust in him in the middle of that agony and grief. We all go through things. The Bible says that we will have tribulation. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. Be steadfast. It doesn't matter who attacks you. It doesn't matter that you can't pay your bills. It doesn't matter. Those things are just part of the roller coaster that life is, because we live in a fallen world. But if we have a heart and a mind that is focusing on Jesus Christ, we look to his light, his life, his blood, and we let it cleanse us. And we become whole, W-H-O-L-E, in him. Then none of that junk has any power over us. If we dwell in it, then we hell in it. There is no light in dwelling in things that are not of Christ. There is no light in that. If our hearts are focused on Jesus, if our mind is focused on Jesus, then we have a power in our lives to transform not only ourselves, but the people around us. There are too many times in this world that we get attacked when we haven't done anything. Those times are times that we have to stand fast and know in our hearts who we are and who we belong to. We have a heart that is so strong. Why would God talk about the heart over 1,000 times in his word if it wasn't vital to our relationship with him and with each other? We are a church that supposedly loves one another. It was founded in the beginning with a desire to serve the Lord in truth, in God's word, and together. But we're also a church that's hurting, because we don't have our focus right. If only one person is off, the whole church is off. Because we're a body. And we need all of you, every single one, to fulfill the role that God has intended for you since your birth and your rebirth into him. There is a reason God drew you to him so many years ago for some of us. Some of us just a few weeks ago. Who knows? You know. But there is a time that we have to make the decision of where we're going to stand. Are we going to stand with our eyes looking towards Jesus? Or are we going to stand looking at ourselves? Matthew 5:8. Sermon on the Mount. We all know it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our focus, our desire has to be wanting to see God, wanting to be one with him. We have a mind that is absolutely phenomenal. We have a mind that gives us the ability to create things just like God created us. He makes us a heart that is beating in us continually, physically, and a heart that is able to love at all times, no matter what the situation or who it is that we look at. Because we have the mind and a heart that are like Christ if we come to Him. Last week we talked about the body and how important it is to remember that we were bought with a price. The blood of Jesus. This week, we're still owned by Jesus and that blood He paid for us with. But now we have to realize that the life and death situation that we're in is that our hearts and minds need to belong to Him. Many of us say that we're Christians. Many of us believe that we are Christians. And I hope those two groups know that they are Christians. And how do we know that? If we have the mind of Christ and we have a heart that is pure before Him, and we have called out to Him and said, Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of the living God, that You came and lived a holy, sinless life, that You went up on a cross blameless and took my sin, and died a cruel death and shed Your blood for me. And then You rose again so that I can be restored to the Father. If you can pray that and believe that, then you are a Christian. There's no, I think I am. It's you are. That focus. If you've noticed, the altar has been getting barer and barer. What's left on the altar? Our symbol of the light of the Lord. Our tithes, our offerings, our sacrifice of giving. Symbols. Symbols of the Lord's Supper. And the oil of anointing. Our focus on the very aspects of God, the cross. We come to the altar, we kneel. We look at the cross and we see our sin. I know the Spirit is here. But I don't know how many of you are willing to listen to what He's saying to each one of us. The word says that He will bring out of darkness the sins and bring them into light. If we don't take the time to repent and restore a relationship with the Lord now, God's going to do it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Do you hunger and do you thirst for righteousness? There's a song, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. Now, water. Thirst. Just as your body needs water, needs some water. Sorry, I got capped in my hand. Just as your body needs water, do you thirst for the Lord? Where is your heart? Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God sees you. He knows what's inside of you. And he's calling to you today. He says, some of you, he looks and he sees wickedness. Does he see wickedness in your heart? God has the answer for your thirsting. He has the answer for your longing. His precious Jesus. He'll quell your thirst. If we'll just open our hearts. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you accept the blood of Jesus, if you make him the direction of your day, the direction of your life, the direction of every moment, if you allow him to lead you, then you will be blessed and you will see God. Amen? Let's pray.
And we praise you, for you are the most wonderful and glorious person, creator, Lord, that has ever been, because you are the one and only true God. You are the only way. Father, we ask that you would touch our hearts today, touch our minds, show us what it is that we need to do today to get right with you. Lord, help us all to say, into your hands I commit my spirit. Help us to focus on you and to be like Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.